delivering this defeat to Theresa May and the EU. So many questions and not a lot of answers, but we're going to try. Ashley Prime is joining us from London, former British diplomat and managing director of Navigators UK office. Ashley Prime, welcome.
Good morning, Arlene.
All right. First of all, how does it feel? The world is using the word crisis and watching the chaos in Britain. How does it feel when you have your feet on the ground?
Well, I think crisis is right. This country is in a political crisis, probably that none of us have seen, certainly in our lifetime. I mean, it does feel like that. Parliament is completely deadlocked. I mean, the absolute hammering that Theresa May got yesterday was unprecedented. And yeah, it feels like we're in crisis. Where do we go from here? The Labour Party under Jeremy Corbyn have had to call a vote of no confidence. It's a kind of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't scenario. He would have been seen as weak if he didn't. He's described this government as a zombie government, and I think that's probably what most of the rest of the country think as well. But I think it's almost certain that he will not win that this evening. The Conservative MPs who voted against Theresa May, well, they don't like the deal, but they're not stupid enough to kind of, you know, give up their own jobs potentially, which, you know, by agreeing to a vote of no confidence and therefore bringing the government down, which means they need to go and fight for their seat. So I would say to a man and woman, Tory MPs will be behind the Prime Minister today and vote for her, as will the Democratic Unionist Party, her prop up supporters from Northern Ireland. So I think she'll win the vote today.
What about the future of Brexit here? And you and I have talked about it before. There's been polling out there about taking another question, another referendum. Is that more possible now?
Well, I think it's been on the table for a while, but I think it's now one of the clear options. Parliament, I think, would be happy with a Brexit second referendum, but the country wouldn't be. I don't sense that that has really changed, even though the polls suggest that should there be a referendum today, 65% of the British population would likely vote to remain. The problem is that Parliament is completely divided on this, that, you know, on the one hand, you have the far right sort of Brexiteers who will do anything
for
the UK to leave the EU, even at massive economic and social cost. It doesn't matter. We've just got to get out. And then you have parliamentarians on both sides of the House, both Conservative and Labour, who actually sort of want a softer form of Brexit, which keeps some form of contact with the EU, particularly on the economic side, so remaining in the customs union, which, of course, for Theresa May is a red line. So, you know, Parliament is deeply, deeply divided. Jeremy Corbyn is a Brexiteer. I don't think we can ever get away from that. I mean, he's a kind of more softly spoken Brexiteer, but, you know, he's no friend of Europe either. So the Labour Parliamentary Party, I think, would like to remain in the EU, but the leadership doesn't.
You know, we talk a lot about referendums, how wise they are for leaders, and the questions going to the former Conservative Prime Minister David Cameron saying, look, do you regret it? He says he doesn't regret it. If you were David Cameron, would you regret it?
Well, I think, you know, his body language said something completely different to the words there. I mean, you just look at him and he said, I don't want to, you know, offer a running commentary. You know, it seemed to me that he was like a commentary running away. I mean, he said that he didn't regret, as you said, calling the referendum, but regrets everything that's happened ever since. Well, you know, that is a consequence of what he did. And it has torn the country apart. It's torn Parliament apart. The country, in my view, is as deeply divided today as it was 2.5 years ago. But I think you need to go back before the referendum. You need to think about, you know, where was Europe on people's minds? Well, it was pretty well near bottom of the list. You know, what was the average British voter concerned about? Well, mm-hmm. stuff that you and I are concerned mm-hmm. about. You know, the economy, healthcare, pension, security, all of those sorts of things that, you know, kind of day-to-day problems. And you have to get down to issue number 7 or number 8 before people begin to worry about Europe. Well, you know, David Cameron, he was the one that felt that the threat from UKIP, which was taking away voters from the Conservative Party, that they were a real threat. So the only way he was going to lance that boil was to say to the Eurosceptics in his party, right, let's sort this out once and for all. Let's silence you by going to the country. And, of course, the rest is history.
You know, the details of that vote have come in as there is a investigation in the United States of America. There has been a lot of information. We have Cambridge Analytica. We have all the new information about the targeting from outside forces. How is that mixed up into what we're watching now?
Well, I think there's two issues there. One is a kind of a known issue that the Leave campaign broke electoral rules and will be fined for that, or have been fined for that. But the kind of the more insidious data analysis, I mean, that I think there's a lot of evidence for that. There's been no call so far for some kind of inquiry, particularly since we're in the middle of, you know, the Brexit crisis that we're in. But, you know, even talking to sort of Brits about this, I don't think people really kind of care, because I'm not sure they really understand. I certainly don't. I can't, you know,
it's complicated.
Sort of understand. It is. But, you know, targeting individual voters and knowing exactly what their voting intentions are likely to be, and therefore tailoring your message to them as an individual, is the kind of the 21st century data world that we live in.
It is. On the other hand, if other countries like Russia had something involved in that, it changes the whole scenario, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I think you've hit the nail, you know, on the head there. In whose interest is it that the United Kingdom is divided? You know, in whose interest is it that Europe is weakened, either whether it's the EU or indeed NATO? I mean, you know, Trump has never been a great fan of NATO, and you know, the world would change dramatically if NATO was weakened further, or indeed, you know, heaven forfend, that the United States pulled out. I mean, don't forget that, you know, since we've had Putin in power in Russia, you know, he has tried to recreate slowly and slightly by stealth and slightly by military force to redraw the map of the former Soviet Union. We, of course, all know about his intervention in Crimea and Ukraine. And we forget. I mean, nobody really talks about that they still have, you know, 10-15% of Georgian territory. He still has South Ossetia. So, you know, Putin's been very clear. He's made public statements that, you know, he wants, you know, Britain to leave the EU. I mean, he's made that very public. Why? Because, of course, that will just, you know, at the very least, needle us in the West. But that's part of his strategy.
You know, as we're talking here today, Ashley, we know crisis in Britain. Also, look what's happening in the United States. So we've got the UK and the United States, both countries so big on NATO and such big, huge parts of NATO. And there we have, as you just outlined it, Vladimir Putin perhaps smiling today with the chaos in both countries.
Oh, it's absolutely perfect. I mean, NATO, we forget, and the European Union, certainly on the prosperity side, have given us peace and security in Europe now for the best part of, you know, 70-odd years. And we cannot forget that. We're kind of just used to it. It's just always been there for our generation that we've not had, you know, major conflict in Western Europe really since the end of the Second World War. And we take NATO and the prosperity of the EU for granted. I mean, the EU isn't perfect. Everybody accepts that. But it has given the UK, from our, you know, perspective, it has given us huge economic clout. If you look at the UK economy pre the single market and look at where it is today, you know, I wouldn't say it's a vertical line, but, you know, our economy grew far, far quicker once all those trade barriers were taken away and we were able to freely trade with our nearest neighbours. We buy, you know, most of our food comes from overseas, and a big chunk of that, of course, comes from the EU. And we're just used to that now. It's kind of part of the economy of the DNA of the UK, and has been now since, you know, the formation of the single market. And you can't forget that, you know, Margaret Thatcher, who was no friend of the European Union, she was one of the people that set up the single market because she understood and saw the economic benefits to this country.
She was, but she wouldn't believe what was happening internationally today. It is, there is a strange feeling across the globe. Ashley Prime, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Ollie.
All right. Cheers to you. Ashley Prime, former British diplomat and managing director of Navigators UK office.
The Arlene Bynum Show, weekdays from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167.